Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey guys, what's up? Jules here for What Culture Gaming, joined as ever by the lovable Lancer that likes to slice through the news and the day like it is warm butter, Scott Telford.
Hi, good, I'll take that.
Yeah, I like the retro
Lancer too. They're all good, Gears things.
And the reason we're speaking about Gears today is because over the weekend there was a lovely new trailer, new information coming out, lots of new shots of this game, and so you know what? There's a fair bit to talk about.
There is. Now, we'll get to the meatiest thing, which is that it has an entire act, what? Or do you need to do the bit of the old? Well, in that case.
It's time to hit that jingle.
Hot dang, there's news, give it all you got. I guess it's time for Jules and Scott.
Okay, we are back. So let's talk about Gears of War.
Foolishly thought I could leap in. How
dare I get ahead of the jingle?
Now, yeah, so there's a whole act in Gears 5 that's apparently going to be an open world type thing. So we'll get to that stuff.
But that sentence alone is insane because obviously when Gears of War 1 came out, everyone was like, this is basically revolutionising third-person shooters. The chest-high walls were everywhere.
In a super linear way, yeah.
But it was fantastic. It looked beautiful. It played incredibly well. I never thought that this game would ever go open world. But personally, because I never really saw the need for it. But at the same time, I'm really excited for this.
See, I'm weird. In fact, yeah, let's just talk about that stuff first. I was going to go through a whole bunch of crap.
Sure.
Let's just talk about the big thing. Yeah, so there's a whole act that's going to be kind of open world. It's act three of the game. And you've already seen the stuff that's been in the trailers where Kate is sort of riding this like surfboard attached to a vehicle with a parasol. I think it's called the skiff.
The skiff,
so,
yeah.
So they show that off in a few little trailers and GIFs and stuff on the official account, which just shows like the crew sort of going through kind of open landscapes and stuff. But whereas in Gears 4, there was like a whole bike sequence that was getting you from A to B, they have actually designed this entire massive sort of semi-open world, kind of Uncharted 4 Lost Legacy style, filled with collectibles and side missions and things to go find and whatever, is the biggest shakeup to a Gears formula yet, I guess.
It's so weird because I'd never put those two genres together.
I know.
But, like, it doesn't feel like it would fit, but I really feel like this might give a sense of sort of like it would make the world feel alive. It would make their position, because the whole point of this story has always been personal tales told at the front lines of war. Now, I'm very, very keen to see how and explore these amazing worlds, because it's something that we never really get to do. We get to hear about, you know, Emergence Day. We got to hear about all of these different locations and different colonies and stuff. But it's always like you're being told in transit, going to or from. Now, this will actually let you explore, hopefully, and find out more about what's going on.
I think considering, like, the Gears 4 had this massive cliffhanger with, like, Kate finding out that her grandma had the same, like, icon, the same sort of pendant passed down from, like, Queen Mirror or the Locust or whatever. I wonder how much of that, like, the revelations from that will be hidden in the open world stuff.
Ooh.
Maybe you have to go and find some documents or go and find something that sort of reveals exactly what's going on or whatever.
What's interesting is that we saw the skiff on two completely different landscapes, because I thought to myself, maybe it's just like going to be the ice world and you get to explore one area of the ice world. But the fact that it was showing up in multiple shots in completely different sort of landscapes, that got me kind of thinking whether or not it's going to be set all on one world and you can fast travel between these different areas that basically just act as like big levels.
So I should clarify actually that all this information comes from PAX West and Rod Ferguson, who's one of the, I think he's the creative director on the game, he's definitely a big old important dude at the head of Gears 5. He sort of did like a big slideshow projection thing telling people about what the new features were, and when he talked about the skiff and the open world stuff, the slide image was the ice world. So I don't know if that means that the entirety of Act 3 is this ice thing, because if it's like Gears 4, there are still vehicle segments where you're getting from A to B and go to different places.
That is true.
But they're more designed. Like, I think it's just that at some point the reins will be let off and you can't just go exploring this kind of skiff thing.
Yeah, it seems completely sort of counterintuitive for them to design a vehicle like the skiff and not let you use it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess like you would have that one act. I like, because this is weird, because there's a lot of things that he said alongside this that have kind of made me go, oh, I don't know. Okay. But like, I'm curious. I mean, I absolutely adore Gears. I'm one of the, like, me and Ben Roy. I think you're like a big enough Gears fan too.
I mean, I'm unlucky in the fact that I don't have an Xbox One.
Right.
But I played everything up to Gears of War 3 and I just adored it. Like, Gears of War 2 and 3 online was some of the most fun times I've ever had.
They're like,
except when they had that bloody double-barreled shotgun.
See, I was going to say, everyone does the forward roll in the shotgun, which is just the go-to Gears tactic. But yeah, in terms of, because there's more things to break down, but in terms of that open world thing, they said it's 50 times bigger than any Gears level they've done before. They said the campaign overall is the biggest thing they've done so far. And then there's a few like sort of like little smaller details that, like I said, kind of make me go a bit weird. They said they want to make the whole game more approachable. They said the Gears of War is Gears of War is known as a hardcore franchise, and they want to make it more approachable.
It is an 18 for a reason.
Yeah, like, but it's like, I always kind of bounce off the whole, let's make it more approachable, because that gives me flashbacks to Mass Effect 3.
Well, it gives me flashbacks to even when they announced there was going to be the Gears of War Funko Pop game that's coming out.
Yeah, if you want accessibility, go play Gears Pop.
This is the thing. I totally understand why. Accessibility doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad thing.
No,
like,
no.
If you are creating a product, you should be aiming to get your widest audience base possible. But the more you do that, the harder it becomes to satisfy all of these people. Because there is a sort of stigma around the hardcore gamer still. Like, a lot of us like to think of ourselves as hardcore gamers, when in actuality, like, what does that title actually mean?
It means beat Control, beat all the bosses in Control. Beat Sekiro.
So could you have beaten that if you were like, I don't know, it just to me it just seems like it's like there's a catering for it, but it's just like,
of course. I think what they're going for is, obviously, if you look at the biggest genre that sells at the minute, it is open world stuff, unless it's something that's more sort of looter shooter based or whatever. And I think that they're experimenting with it, and a lot of different devs go down the open world route and then kind of don't ever come back, like Hideo Kojima's or whatever.
That's kind of what I like about his statement when he was saying, like, okay, it's like, it is just like one act is going to be 50 times bigger or whatever, it's going to be the biggest level. That's fine, because it shows that they know where their core strength lies, which is in the shooting and the corridor and the tight linear sort of experience, because I do genuinely believe that linear experiences done well are better overall than open world experiences.
I'd probably back that,
because it's controlled and you get to experience what the game wants you to see.
This would be a good discussion for a podcast on the World Culture Gaming Podcast channel, but something like Breath of the Wild or Phantom Pain, like, uses its open world in a really specific mechanical sense, as opposed to just being sprawling in open world and nothing, like Rage 2. But in this case, there are things that they've designed to plug into this open world that, like I said, kind of make me go, like, what?
Okay.
So one thing that went alongside the approachability thing is they said they want to let the player choose when to engage with combat as opposed to having combat forced upon them.
Ooh.
But to me, having combat forced upon you is Gears of War. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I like the idea. I mean, it's only one act in the whole story, but like, it's a weird thing to sort of focus on and kind of do a big slideshow presentation around the idea of, we're making Gears more approachable. We're going to do this sort of like semi-open world thing. And stuff that goes alongside that as well is that they've bolstered, you know, Jack, who was always like, rip this door.
Oh, yeah.
They've already shown him be playable in the E3 trailer, but Rod Ferguson described some more abilities that he has.
Okay.
So there's some combat abilities, some passive stuff, things that you upgrade across the course of the campaign. But one thing that Jack can do is cloak. So he can actually, I think it sounds like he can cloak your whole squad so that you can pick and choose who you want to engage with, which again reminds me a bit of Breath of the Wild or something like Far Cry, where you come across bandit camps and you're choosing when to engage or whatever.
If that is the case and it allows for sort of more tactical manipulation, then I'm actually all for that, because if it makes sense to sort of move your squad into a sort of fortified position and then start shooting people rather than just run up a hill and face a wave of people coming down that have the superior advantage because they have the Anakin high ground, then I would actually prefer that.
See, I'm game for that, but my thing with it is that I want them to do sort of like new Gears mechanics. Like, I don't necessarily want them to sort of half crib things from, like you said, the Far Cry's, the Breath of the Wild, any open world game with bandit camps kind of thing. I'm game for that in a Gears setting, but I want the meat of Gears of War to be extrapolated on. Like, one of the only new things they had in Gears 4 was that you could do a kill from the other side of cover. You could grab someone and kill them. And it's like, okay, you added like one kind of mechanic.
But my argument to that is that gameplay, when I was playing it over at my mate's house, I was like, that is actually brilliant. That
still
one
solid
feature was all that was needed to make the gameplay feel good. I totally understand the people trying to reinvent themselves, but it's the classic case of why reinvent the wheel? Mm. Like the gameplay from 2 and 3 onwards was immensely fun.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the thing. They've had a winning formula ever since Gears 1, and for the most part, they iterated very carefully. Like, you know, there's not that much of a leap mechanically between Gears 2 and Gears 3. Yeah. It was more about refining it. And yeah, like they can totally just do more Gears. I think that's what people are kind of expecting. But at the same time, for me, as a lifelong Gears fan, I would like them to sort of put something in that makes me go, oh man, I didn't even know that I needed this,
well,
or whatever.
Hopefully that's what the open world will
maybe
be.
I mean, so yeah, there's a handful of things like that, and also Rod described the way the campaign's working. Like, we've seen Kate sort of have this weird kind of like in the earlier trailer she was kind of half and half, like she's kind of half evil, half good. So apparently the first half of the campaign is going to be about Kate, like, sort of exploring the realities that she has a connection to the Locust.
Cool.
And the first half is like her dealing with the information that came out of the end of Gears 4. And apparently the second half of the campaign is all about all-out war breaks out on Sarah, and I guess she has to, I don't know, figure out where she lies in it because she has ties to the Locust and the humans.
I mean, that does sound like it's, again...
Sounds kind of cool.
That does actually sound really cool. It's probably the most engaging, I think, that any sort of story has sounded in Gears for a while, because outside of maybe Dom and his wife in 2...
Maria.
And then you've got Marcus and his dad in 3...
Adam.
There wasn't really much narrative weight other than them, the bad guys. And in 4, I have to admit... I didn't care for the story from what I played. And
well,
I'm glad to see his son's had a bit of a redesign.
That's hilarious. They showed that off a while ago, but like JT Phoenix is now just bald with an eye scar, just full on being...
It's a good look, man.
Being like old dad. And that's just fine. Yeah, in Gears 4, like the back third or the back half, when you finally start to get to play as the older version of the original characters, just give me a whole game of that. Give me Gears of War OAP. I will take the old school version. Give me the Expendables with the Gears characters. That's where the charm is.
It's really interesting because I was looking at action games that managed to sustain their... narrative over a long periods of time, and I found it very hard to actually
Metal
find.
Gear Solid.
Well, Metal Gear Solid is kind of different because of the fact that it breaks itself up with stealth sequences. It's not full on action. But I was thinking that Max Payne 3 is probably the only game that I can think of that I played from nearly start to finish, and it was a long game.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But the way that it did it was because narrative was simple. Like, I know who the bad guys are, and I want to get here, and then there's a betrayal or whatever that happens further down the line.
I got my Hawaiian shirt, my twin pistols, I'm good.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas Gears always tries to convolute its own storyline. It should just focus down on there is a massive war now. Just go and do the massive war. Like, and just be the 18.
Yeah, that was kind of what they always had in the original ones.
Exactly,
like,
and that's
why
it's so good.
Sarah, yeah, kill the Locust, there's a big beast on the ground, there's some emulsion or whatever.
Why does it need to be more complicated?
True, I mean, yeah, they sort of said that, yeah, this bit with the war thing, apparently the whole team's trying to rebuild the Hammer of Dawn, which is the main thing from the original game.
Yep.
And if you go back to the teaser trailer, or the trailer that was at E3, there's a big creature being held in a tank.
Oh, yeah.
It looks a little bit like General Ram, but the Locust faces do look like General Ram.
It kind of looks like him, but it's also got loads of spiky bits on the side.
Yeah,
so can you imagine? Do you remember the bad guy from 3? The guy with the sort of dreadlocks?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What was his name again?
He's from 2, I
2,
think?
It might be 2, actually.
I forget what that dude's name was, but he was like Predator with like a...
Imagine those two just smashed together. That's kind of what the new one looks
maybe.
Like.
There's a weird thing with how much sort of story they're kind of taking all the fan boxes because Adam Phoenix is somehow back alive. I can't remember what his specific death scene was, but I thought he died.
I thought that it was the research laboratory that exploded because he had to stay in it.
I guess he was still alive. He's in one of the trailers anyway. And and he's sort of in there. Queen Mirror's still alive, even she got stabbed through the stomach.
Yep.
Not to worry. And it just seems like they're kind of going down that route where we're all coming back. Hammer of Dawn's back.
Tis but a flesh wound.
It's completely
fine. But
that's
a good idea, I think. Maybe what they need to do is they've moved far enough away from the original point to bring everything back home and just go, this is the Gears experience, definitive Gears experience with a new cast of characters. But look, it's the passing of the torch, whatever they've done. Because 4 kind of stumbled.
They kind of try to do that in Gears 4. I like Kate enough, or Kat, whatever. I think she's a solid enough character. I liked her more than JD in Gears 4.
Well, that's like saying that you like drinking paint more than you do being stabbed. Like, it's kind of like a lesser of two evils.
It's true, but also I think if they're going to pass the torch, I'm kind of half game for that, but I'm way more game for sticking with the original set and doing more stories about them. Give me Marcus looking after his tomatoes all over again. Like, I don't really mind.
My tomatoes!
Like, I'm, you know, just give me a whole one of that. I want to see old farmer Marcus and looking after his farm. Like, that'll be fine. One last thing to throw in that they have mentioned before, but to sort of extrapolate on, is that you can now build maps for the Horde mode and the Versus versus mode.
That is going to be amazing. Because the horde modes were the best bits about those games. Totally. They were so good, especially when you got to play as the locust on the other side.
So I guess we'll get to play as whatever that mutated not ram thing is. You can make maps for the horde mode, but you can also make them for the versus modes. And they confirm there's 11 competitive modes in the versus mode. I'm only ever going to play deathmatch, to be honest. I don't want to run around with a ball. I never want to do that.
I like that game.
Get the ball, run back.
I thought that was fun. It was capture the flag effect, didn't it?
Yeah, I just want to shoot stuff. You know, I don't want to choose combat. Combat come to me. I want to shoot all the stuff and cut it in half. That's all I need.
Well, there we go. That's all of the information that we've got from Gears 5 at the moment. Let us know what you thought about it down in the comments section below. Are you as excited as we are? Because it's looking like it's going to be a very different game. We will
see about doing like a Gears of War podcast or something.
Yeah.
Any excuse to talk about Gears? Because that franchise is kind of all over the place.
But it feels good to talk about Gears. We should do a video, an editorial on the ups and downs of the Gears of War franchise. But anyway, yeah, there we go. So if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do so at RetroJ for myself and...
Oh, I'm at /LP89.
Thank you so much for watching us, guys. And hope you have a great day, and we'll speak to you soon.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.